Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This episode sponsored by LeaseEnd. Before you return your leased car, stop. You could be handing back the exact car you should keep. If you already love the car in your driveway, LeaseEnd makes buying it out simple. No dealership pressure, no back and forth, just a straightforward way to keep the car you already know and trust. Tell LeaseEnd what you're driving, and LeaseEnd handles the financing, so you can buy it out quickly, often with better terms than the dealership. Why give back the car you already love? With LeaseEnd, you can keep what's already yours in every way that matters. Visit LeaseEnd.com. That's LeaseEnd.com before your lease is up. LeaseEnd. Keep the car. Skip the dealership.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now, all summer long, I'm going to be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com. Get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
This is Hidden Tillers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Drake.
Reddington held up family photos, a honeymoon wish jar, and a poster of 13 medications and told the jury the system broke this woman. He called it lousy medical care and a prosecution that ripped the soul out of this girl. And we're going to break this down, the defense of Lindsay Clancy, as we continue to wait for the jury's decision. With me, Robin Drake, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program, and also Jennifer Coffendaffer with us to help us break it down as well, retired FBI special agent. So yeah, 13 psychiatric medications across providers who never talked to each other. Patrick went to Clancy's doctor the week before and said, "You're turning her into a zombie." Nobody changed anything. I mean, other than going to your doctor, and maybe you have to. I mean, I feel like you do sometimes these days, and tell them they're wrong. I don't know what else could have been done here. I mean, this is not doctor shopping. This is not prescription shopping. I can show you 1,000 cases of that where people are addicts out there doing that sort of shit. Clearly, this is not that. I don't know where we get down that road, but it just doesn't seem like we're dealing in reality at that point. We're dealing with someone who was searching for a way to get better. It's revealed by all of her private writings, her thoughts, things that have been revealed to other people. None of this is, where can I get my latest fix? It's how can I get better? Because I so desperately want to be there as a mother for these kids that she loves so desperately. And somehow it has turned into this. So when you have something like that, when you have these providers not communicating across all these lines, yeah, that leads to some problems here. How effective? I mean, how do you think it landed with the jury in terms of the providers that were put on the stand? Because to me, on the outside looking in, I feel like a lot of the prosecution's witnesses actually helped the defense more than it helped the prosecution, at least in terms of arguing the failures in the system here.
You know, Jen? Here we are at over 10 hours, right? 12 hours, whatever, yeah. 13, 14 hours that the jury is on. And I always found it very interesting that what they wanted to see was the medication and that big old butcher knife.
Yeah. Right? So far, yeah.
So far. I mean, they haven't asked, at least that we know about. Well, we would know about them. We don't know. There's no other jury notes. So why are they focused on that? Why did they want to see that? To me, they wanted to see that to see how sharp that knife was. I think that was important. I would want to know, was this really a sharp knife, or was this one of those dull ones like most of mine in my drawer? And then the bottles, I think it was very important for them to count for themselves, to see for themselves, and also just how used and you know, those bottles were. I think that they are really trying to focus on that physical, what I talked about, not about what people said, but basically what is the real evidence. The real evidence, not just witnesses, because to me, everybody has an agenda.
What does the evidence tell you without context? Of course, they're going to be taking context into it. Other than that, you just have 30 bottles.
I agree.
Context is important. But my point is, this was important for them to see, both of these. And it tells me that they're more focused on that than, you know, I keep wondering.
Or at least one person in there is.
Or at least one person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I keep wondering how much these doctors thought. I think a lot of people are, from my view, saying she's an RN and she needed to take more control of her outcome and more control of her medical
situation. So now I'm going to push back on that a little bit, only because people, and I only say this because the context of my daughter being an RN in exactly the same field, as I've said multiple times, and I know I get blasted by sometimes nurses on here who say, oh, you don't know this. And no, you're right, I don't know anything about it because I'm not one myself. But my daughter is very, very specific with what her field is, because we just visited my dad, and who has medical issues as well. And my daughter, who's an amazing nurse in her field, will be very, very specific on, hey, that's not my field. I don't do this. And I can talk about this, and this. But, you know, so to make the jump in Lindsay's case where, well, she's an RN, so she should know better. She doesn't have a freaking clue on mental health issues or medication mental health issues. Matter of fact, I even asked my daughter about testing for thyroid issues before taking certain medications with dealing with postpartum. My daughter was very, what? No, that's not what we do. And what I do is we deal with this. I mean, it's very, very specific. They're very specialized. And so putting it on Lindsay that she should have known better because X, Y, and Z, that's not her field, man.
It's kind of like saying you go to a restaurant and you get a steak that's undercooked. Well, you should have gone back there and cooked it better yourself. That's not why I'm here.
That's a good one.
But also people say that she should have done more, but then she did try to do more. She tried to find different providers. She tried to try different drugs. So in a way, she was trying to be her own best advocate.
Yeah.
And the same people that say she didn't do enough say she did too much.
True. She went back to the kitchen and cooked the steak.
Right.
She literally did. It and it's still not enough.
See, I don't like that analogy personally.
Why? Because it's too real?
No, you ready, Tony? Because if I get a steak that's undercooked, I say, I'm not eating it. Go back and cook it, or I order something else. There was nobody forcing her to eat the steak.
But you just said it. I'll go somewhere else. I'll find someone else. And that's exactly what she's doing. She didn't like the steak she got. And so she said, I don't want it. Get me another one or I'm going to another restaurant. It was exactly what she did.
So she did what you said to do.
You just said.
Oh, I totally agree. She was shopping.
That's not shopping. That's trying to get the right treatment. That's trying to get the right steak.
That's shopping. I'm not saying that she wasn't trying to feel better. Look at all the people trying to feel better.
I think we have different definitions of shopping or something.
I think maybe so. It's so interesting to me, and with the respect, of course, I have for all of you all, Todd, Tony, Robin, that we can see the same set of facts and we can interpret them so differently. Mm-hmm. It really is interesting.
Yeah. 3 days.
I have a quick question. Have you all offset the experts, or are you still, or do the experts weigh in huge? And if so, who? Which one? Which one now did the other one?
I have two. Actually, just in case you asked that, Jen, I have my two I like that I actually listen. Everyone else offset it for me. I have two that I actually thought were the most credible in my mind that they're on opposing. So I had Dr. Resnick. On the defense side, he's the one that was the last case. He's the expert on postpartum psychosis.
Yeah.
Andrew Yates. Yeah. So that's the Andrew Yates one. And then it was also the first rebuttal guy. I can't. Where the hell's my sheet on this? The first rebuttal. Oh, here it is. Halbron. Halbron said that he found her to be criminally responsible, but I liked how he presented that there's two possibilities. Because he, so here's what he agreed with. This here's I liked his rationale on this because it goes according to what I say. I'm saying as well, because of what the family's reported, because of her life, because of this life arc, as he said it. This is so incongruent with who she was as a human being, must have been something that caused it. He said in his mind, there's two things. One, the postpartum psychosis, and he said, from the data I collected, I don't think that one's as much as the second one. And the second one was the altruistic filicide, serious S-ideization with attempt, and severe depression. And he goes, which is also a criteria which that the jury could find her not criminally responsible for if that is the case. Both of those are that, but he said in his viewpoint, she was criminally responsible. But those are the two that I had a lot of credibility on because both those explanations to me explained a massive shift from who she was as a human being. To me, now it's up to the jury to decide where does it fall for you. So I those are the two I liked. Everyone else I thought canceled each other out.
What are your thoughts on the Googling before? Can you treat a sociopath days before, symptoms of postpartum psychosis, hallucinations, those sort of searches? Is that, Jen, I'm just trying to get a read on your take on it. Is that her having these feelings or you know, inklings that she's either there or you know, you're feeling kind of off and you know there's something intruding here, and Googling that to try to understand what the hell's happening to her, or is she planning a defense of this murder she's about to take out in a couple days? I mean, or is it something else? I mean, what's your take on the Googling of, you know, pretty much what was going on in her brain, allegedly?
I am so glad you asked that question, and I actually meant to bring that up in an earlier question. Look, I think she absolutely recognized her evil thoughts and what she wanted to do to those kids. And that's why she basically is saying, I'm a sociopath, can I be fixed? That's how I took that. So again, it's this realization of a very serious issue and how she remained around those children when she saw herself a sociopath. That is a huge issue for me. And like I said, and I've said throughout this, I hold Patrick, the mom, and people in her circle also responsible. Once you say, this is where the line was crossed. Once you say, you're not depressed, blah, blah, blah. You say, I want to harm my kids. That's the line that's, all right, we got money. We've got all these things. We're getting them out of there until you're better.
Not one medical professional testified out of all of them claimed she was a sociopath. Where did you get that?
She Googled it. She Googled it, but that's never been the diagnosis. I mean,
look at all these diagnoses. She was never diagnosed with anything. And now people are trying to go backwards and diagnose when they didn't even interview her.
Isn't that part of the indictment on the system itself? I mean, yeah, you're exactly right. She was never correctly diagnosed.
That's what makes the case even
I think stronger on her part is the fact that, yeah, she was there begging for help 50 different ways to Tuesday. It turns out she's bipolar. She was getting medication for anxiety and depression, which works against you when you're there. Which one of the side effects happens to be psychosis? Surprise.
Nobody said bipolar except for people who weren't treating her at the time. And she's a liar. She kept back that she wanted to harm the kids. She never told any medical professional that. And that is one of the biggest notes to me. That is a fact.
Yeah, which is unfortunately,
she's a liar.
That's normal.
She didn't want CPS out there.
Yeah.
She is calculating. She's manipulative. I don't know how you can't see it.
Because no one else is.
No.
So she minimized, all the doctors agreed she minimized, but no one claimed she was a liar.
Okay. Come on, Robin, potato, potato. If you're interviewing somebody and they minimize their criminal act, their criminal intentions and everything, I call that lying. Just the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Don't give me no voices. never heard any voices.
So she's minimizing because she's fearful of sharing everything because she's afraid of losing her children that they testified to, because they'll take her away for that. But manipulation for what gain? I mean, so if you're going to claim that someone's lying or not, so to me, people don't feel safe in sharing a truth sometimes because it'll be not in their best interest to do so, and I get that. But when you say that she was lying because she's manipulative, what was she trying to manipulate, and what was her goal with the manipulation?
Great question. She's trying to manipulate her control over the children. Her. It's all about her. Me, 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 me. Narcissistic tendencies. That's it's all there. About me. But so no, I put my kids in harm.
She's been evaluated.
The people, the truth. Who cares? Because I win.
Point out the narcissistic behavior that was me, 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 because if you look at her journals, if you look at everything on the walls in the home, everything was for the kids. Everything that we saw that was presented was all about the kids. The me stuff was how to fix me so I could be a better mom for the kids. Everything she journaled, all the testimony by all her friends, family, and everything else, everything was for the kids. In her own journals that spanned times before this even happened, it was kids, I want to be a mom. I want to have more kids. The claim that she was narcissistic and
I've
self-centered.
Seen that. that.
You haven't seen that?
I don't see data points on it.
I don't see the narcissism. I've seen,
wanted to be the great mom for her.
Not for the kids,
because remember when she talks about resentment of Cora and Dawson because they aren't basically letting her be the A-plus mom for this kid. This is a woman who always did well, always overachieved, and now she's not living up to this expectation. She can't let everybody know. She keeps it all inside. And that's what I see.
So her solution is murder the kids?
So, and I see your point. If this was like inside of, you know, like IBLP or any of the cults you saw that are religious cults where your entire identity is centered around you can only be a risen person or a enlightened person if you're a mother. But that's not what she was following. This was actually purely out, again, as stated in testimony, I can, because you're going on facts. I'm only paying attention to what was actually in the trial and from the data points that were presented was all about just for the sake of being a mother. There was no expectation that anyone put on her. This is all put on herself. There's no religiosity that was put on here about I'm doing it because my religion or my cult says I need to do this. This was an internal drive for her because, yeah, she's driven to be excellent at the thing she did, hence how she approached everything in life. But to say that she's doing it because she's self-centered, I don't see the data. I didn't see that data come in at all on this.
Let me give you the two data points. I want to harm my kids. Okay, that is not, no, this, but she had said that earlier. I want to harm my kids. And then also the data points that we are forgetting about is I don't like Dawson, basically. He's too hyper. I have to do what she even called him, like, not a good person. I'm like, he's two or three. You know, they're two and three. And also there's very interesting testimony. And I don't know if you caught this like I caught this, but when the father-in-law testified about that Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and about how she got angry at Dawson and grabbed Dawson, and then he kind of pulls himself back and he says, well, you know, he's hard to handle. He's a handful, but she didn't really grab him that hard. I'm paraphrasing, but that's what happens.
I remember.
He recognized that was a situation where she was over the top. That's how I took it, and then she falls back.
Because she's on the spiral down towards the psychosis.
Doesn't that all point to the leading towards psychosis, Jen? I mean, I feel like your argument leads us there.
It points to, that's because, and I know why it's going to. If everybody in this audience who is, and you guys who are predisposed and have made the decision that this is a psychotic break, there's nothing I'm going to be able to say. And on the flip side, there's no doctor that analyzed her years or months later, that doesn't know her at the time, that is going to be able to convince me. Because at the time, she told no healthcare provider she wanted to harm her kids, but she told her mom and she told her dad or her husband. And that is the manipulation. That is the me. And then if you look further back at even her own posting about not liking Dobson, I think that was a precursor or a data point.
Red flags. Red flags is something was starting to go terribly wrong, no doubt.
Yeah.
Your thoughts in the comment section, Substack, YouTube. We'll continue that conversation there. Links are in the description.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
You know what? It sucks to be bored. But when I get on my phone and play real casino games on SpinQuest.com, the time flies by. That 2-hour wait at the DMV seems like 10 minutes. Play your favorite slots, live blackjack, live craps with a live dealer. New players, $30 coin packs are on sale for 10 bucks. Play SpinQuest.com and you'll never be bored again.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
What's going on, everyone? It's Bluff here, and we're driving through the states in the Bluffmobile, and the best thing that we can do is play our favorite casino-style games on SpinQuest. They have over 1,000 games, including live dealer, blackjack, and craps, with tons of slots and unlimited options. You can get a $30 coin pack for just $10 for new users. Sign up today. Go to SpinQuest.com right now.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey guys, Lady Luck here. Are you going on any road trips this summer? I know I'm going to be going on a bunch of road trips. And being that I'm going to be passenger princess, I love playing on SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest has all of my favorite slot games, live blackjack, live craps. Head on over to SpinQuest right now and get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Happy birthday, America. It's time to celebrate and play your favorite Las Vegas casino games by American-owned SpinQuest.com. What's better than fireworks and American pie? Hitting a blackjack in the palm of your hand, and you won't lose your fingers. Over 1,000 games, including slots and live dealers, and $30 coin packs are on sale for 10. SpinQuest.com. Buy American players for American players.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Hey everybody, Lady Luck here, and we're celebrating America's 250th birthday. Now all summer long, I'm gonna be celebrating by playing on SpinQuest.com, which is an American-owned social casino. It obviously features over 1,000 slot games and live blackjack, live craps, live bubble craps. Head on over to SpinQuest.com, get yourself a $30 coin pack for just 10 bucks.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.